You and I back together again Tuesday, October 5th, 2021 on Connecticut Today. We chatted with a congressional candidate who's also a longtime practicing physician, Dr. Richard Van Dam. He's a major critic of how Dr. Anthony Fauci is handling himself during the COVID-19 pandemic. Later in the show, Greenwich Stanford Republican State Rep Kim Fiorello dropped by again to share her thoughts on Governor Ned Lamont's continued COVID-19 executive powers. But going back to some controversy over the weekend, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the White House's top advisor regarding COVID-19, was asked a hypothetical question, which I thought from the person, I believe he was on CBS, was, you know, kind of a stretch to ask at this point, talking about a changeable situation and projecting out toward the holiday season. Dr. Fauci gave a convoluted answer. He had to, of course, double back and restate everything again yesterday, doing a little damage control. So will all of this be fodder for the midterm elections coming up in about a year from now? This gentleman is running for Congress. He has a medical background. He's a Republican candidate for Congress in Kentucky's 5th Congressional District. Now, I wanted to talk to him to get his reaction to what Dr. Fauci said. Is this going to be a campaign issue across the country? Dr. Richard Van Dam is the guest here on Connecticut Today. Dr. Van Dam has experience at both the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Emory Healthcare. Dr. Van Dam, hi, it's Paul here in Connecticut. Sir, how are you today?
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. Hey, thank you for having me on the show today.
I appreciate it. What was your, Dr. Van Dam, and you are a clinician and you have quite a resume, what did you think of both the question from the Sunday host, and as a guy who has a journalism degree, I said, well, that was kind of a shaky question to begin with, and the answer Dr. Fauci gave, and then, of course, he had a kind of double back on it yesterday. What did you think of the whole scenario?
Well, I wish I could say I was surprised, but I have a similar education, similar background, internal medicine physician, just like Anthony Fauci. And I'll tell you, look, Anthony Fauci had more than enough information to tell Americans what to expect as we head into the Christmas season. So it was disturbing, to say the least, to see him flip-flopping and then doubling back. And the biggest concern is that he cares more about his political aspirations at this point than about what's good for the American people, telling people what they need to do to stay safe. And as we go into the elections, in the midterm elections, I think this will be a political issue because here we have a non-elected bureaucrat who seems to care more about hearing his own voice than he does about what's good for people. And just trying to get another interview, and it appears that he really cares more about controlling people and the holidays.
And Dr. Van Dam, listen, in every market, I know in your market there where you are up around here, you know, there are a lot of medical experts that we have on shows like this all the time. But I even had an expert on the other day from the area, a viral biologist, who said, you know, maybe it's time to just, for the country's mental health, Dr. Van Dam, to just ease off just for a bit, you know, take a breath on some of these talking head interviews. Because I think America just, look, we know the numbers are out there. We know we have to get vaccinated, but I think we need a mental break on this. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, Paul, you're absolutely right. And I mean, most physicians I know really never wanted politics to come into this. We've handled many influenza outbreaks, even things as serious as Ebola with Emory and the CDC, without, and as part of that at that time, without having it become a political dividing issue. And I can tell you as a physician, when I have a patient come into my office, I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat or independent. I'm going to do what's best for that patient. It's going to be individualized, tailored treatment. And at the end of the day, I'm going to tell them, you know, the truth, the facts, to the best of what we know. But I also tell them, you know, what we don't know and what the next steps are to figure that out. And that's, I think that's one of the most damaging things that's happened, not just with Fauci, but with the politicalization of COVID-19, is that they've damaged the sacred relationship between a physician and a patient. And nobody knows how much, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And so that's that sacred relationship that a patient knows that we care what's in their best interest, and it's not political at all.
All right, Dr. Richard Van Dam, hang on. We'll be right back with you. First, though, before we get back to the doctor, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. At 3:42, another check of traffic and weather together, less than 5 minutes away right here on Connecticut Today. The guest for a few more minutes is a congressional candidate from Kentucky, Dr. Richard Van Dam, but he's also served time at Emory Health and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, talking about the political ramifications and the notion of how we've handled COVID. We continue to handle it. It's not going away, folks. All the experts I've had on here locally and even the national ones say it is not going away. You know, Dr. Van Dam, when I got into this business, segueing from doing newscasts to doing talk shows, I was told by some talk veterans that one of the most effective things I could say, if I want to be honest with my listeners, is I don't know. If they ask me something, sometimes I say, I don't know. Maybe you can find out for me. Should some of these government talking heads, doctor, when we're talking about a scenario here where numbers can shift day to day, week to week, would Americans be a little better served here, Dr. Van Dam, if some of the experts say, you know what, that's a good question, or right now I don't know?
I think that's a perfect answer, and that would have been a fantastic answer even about what we can expect for Christmas. We know that with the holidays coming, this is a respiratory illness, that respiratory illnesses get worse in the wintertime, and that it spreads by coughing and sneezing. So it's not rocket science. But as far as what to predict with now that the Delta variant has full blown and we have a new variant and several more that might be on the way, we don't know. And that's the proper answer. And then that segues nicely into what can we do then to just be as safe as possible. We deal with ambiguity all the time in medicine, so it's not new for us.
Well, that's why, doctor, they call it, and I've had physicians in the family, they call it practicing medicine, right? Because it's never perfect, right?
yeah, exactly. And each situation's unique and different. So and one of the things that I think, as you said, the talking heads can say is what they're going to do. And I see that some are trying to do this, but like, you know, my wife and I, we're in our 40s, but we've got a miracle baby on the way. He's going to be born, Lord willing, in December. And you can better believe that we're going to be as careful as possible.
Sure.
So for us, wearing masks is just something that's going to be the norm for a while. Now, we chose to get the vaccination. That was our choice. And I'll tell you, the data really shows that even though vaccinations aren't 100% safe, and there's no guarantee it's going to keep you from getting the Delta variant or keep you even out of the hospital, it's definitely safer to get the vaccine than it is to get COVID without it. And so for us, that was, you know, a decision that we had to make, take those risks. It's not without certain risks. But, you know, for another person, maybe they've had COVID, maybe they even had the Delta variant, and if they got their antibodies checked, they could say, well, their antibody levels are very good, and it shows that they have good immunity without the vaccine.
Yeah, because so ultimately, doctor, this thing is never going away, correct? And there's always going to be some vaccine requirements out there, but ultimately could be another year or so, we don't know, right? But the herd immunity thing is what's going to provide the most protection. Am I correct there?
Well, herd immunity usually does, and I think we have what would be considered some level of herd immunity to the Alpha variant. What we're dealing with now are new variants that aren't as controlled by the vaccine itself. And so that, with the confusion and the tailspin that the American people have been left in of distrust, mostly because, and I blame Anthony Fauci as the leader, but there's a number that are responsible for that. That is creating more problems at this point, perhaps, than the actual virus is. And I'm not downplaying the devastation that this virus has caused. I'm in Kentucky, one of the worst areas in the country right now.
Yeah.
So we've had family members that have died of COVID, and It's tragic.
But yet, Dr. Finley, you know, Americans, as you say, they get kind of these now conflicting messages when, you know, Dr. Fauci, for whatever reason, said what he said on a Sunday, yet the day before, there were hundreds of thousands of people in stadiums all across the country, you know, watching college football. There were NFL games. There are concerts going on again. So I guess, Dr. Van Dam, to wrap up here, I guess you can't blame the American people if they just say, please, enough, I need a breath here.
I completely understand that. And, you know, when it comes to Fauci, the mixed message, the floppy may have done more damage, creating more distrust. And then I have to say, him lying under testimony to Congress, let's not forget what we did to several baseball, Major League Baseball players a few years ago that lied under testimony to Congress and what happened to their careers. Mm-hmm. And yet, Dr. Fauci not only lied to Congress, he lied to the president. He lied to the American people. He was responsible for some of the devastation in our economy, and yet we haven't held him accountable for that. That, the confusion, and now we've got COVID fatigue where people are just done hearing about it, but we're not through this pandemic yet. And so now more than ever, we need that good, trusted physician-patient type of sacred relationship where it's not about politics. It's about giving people the truth. And like you said, Paul, we have to tell them what we don't know, too, and to say, we don't know. But this is what I recommend to keep as safe as possible for Christmas. This is what I'm doing for my family. And let's talk about what your needs are. Let's keep you as safe as possible.
All right, Dr. Richard Van Dam, we thank you, and good luck a year from November. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. That's it. You know, folks, when you tell, my doctor has told me, or my doctors over the years have told me. I say, Doc, what are you? And one of my guys who retired about 5-6 years ago is a funny guy. He'd look at me and go, I have no idea. And when you're doctor, now, it wasn't a life and death thing that I was talking to him about. Don't get me wrong. Great guy, retired after many years. He's traveling the world right now. Good guy. But, you know, a few years ago, I remember asking him a few things, and he looked at me and goes, I don't know. None of us know. We're doctors, we're not magicians here, so none of us know. I think people would rather hear that than when whether it's Dr. Fauci or Dr. Walensky and, well, Dr. Francis Collins, who apparently now is retiring. The one guy out of the three, as I said earlier, in the week, who kind of, you know, smiled a lot and had a little bit of a sense of humor in these interviews. Go figure, he's retiring. Well, he's 71, but... I think if people felt sometimes that even the experts maybe didn't know, I don't know, is there some part of the human conditions that says, geez, even the smart guys and gals don't know. I better be extra careful. Think about that. Welcoming back to the program, though, Republican State Rep Kimberly Fiorello. She hasn't been on with us in a while, and I wanted to get her back on because about a week ago she had penned an interesting op-ed regarding the governor and his continued use of executive powers from District 149. Kim, it's Paul again. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me, and hi to all your listeners.
The title, Kim, of your piece was, Thank You, Governor Lamont, for Your Service, But Enough with the Emergency Powers. What made you... Well, that kind of sums it up, I think, but what were your thoughts writing this?
Well, the governor is my constituent, and so I reached out to him. I've seen him around town as well, and I was very grateful when he returned my call. I let him know that I wanted to talk about the his desire, you know, in the following week to have us come in for a special session to vote on his extending the powers. And we had an illuminating conversation, and I think, you know, I wanted to share my response to him because I want to help persuade the people of Connecticut that it is not right for the governor to extend these emergency powers. You know, people have to understand that the emergency powers are there in the Constitution to recognize, and reasonably so, that there are times that we as regular civilized people know we will want a very strong executive to direct us out of some scary moments. But this has to be like, you know, you got to feel that sense of emergency and fear that we felt in March of 2020. You know, when he takes these emergency powers, the impact is immediate. Immediate, the Constitution gets put on hold, the norms of the Constitution are set aside, and he has these extraordinary powers during a civic preparedness emergency and a public health emergency. And we have to feel and see like red sirens racing down our road and, you know, the hospitals filling up and us lining up to give blood. Like, that's the level of emergency we need to be experiencing. However, we have been in a so-called state of emergency for 560 days, mm-hmm. and he asked for 150 more. I want people to understand that these are super powers that truly put the Constitution aside. And it is not right that he's able to do this. And the Democrat majority, there were some Democrats who voted with the Republicans this time around, finally. And there was a nice shift in the feeling in the room in the House in Hartford and in the Senate in Hartford that, you know, it was a little harder for the Democrats, I think, to just grant these powers to the governor. Whereas before, maybe the Republicans felt like they felt squirmy about voting no. But I have never felt wrong about voting no. You know, after I wasn't there in March of 2020. I'm a freshman. When I arrived and took my pledge in January of 2021, you know, he had already had an emergency for, you know, several months, almost a year. So I have consistently voted no on renewing his emergency powers because I feel that it's redefining what emergency even means.
Republican State Rep. Kim Fiorello is the guest. Kim, hang on. We'll be right back to you. More with Kim straight ahead. First, traffic and weather together right here, 4:36 on a Tuesday on WICC. And a couple more minutes here before we check traffic and weather together in Wall Street on the day. Republican State Rep. From District 149, Kim Fiorello, parts of Greenwich and Stamford, who says that she did a little constituent service talking to one of her constituents. And Kim, that is funny. It's not funny, but people forget that whomever is governor still lives in a legislative district who has a member of the state house and state senate, you know, essentially representing them. So, man, talk about the circle of life politically. Kim, do you get any of the sense, and I've asked this of legislators, but, you know, Kim, do you get any of the sense here? And you said a couple of minutes ago that there were even some Democrats who were squishy about it more this time than previous times. Was this just a sense, Kim, of, if I can be biblical here, was this just a sense of the Democrats kind of pulling a Pontius Pilate here, washing their hands, saying, hey, listen, we could have some tough stuff with the schools, with state employees, with other state departments. Let's let one person handle this. He's the big guy. He's in the big leather chair. Let's just step back, give him a few more months. Could that have been part of the thinking here, you think?
I think for sure, you know, they are sort of abrogating some responsibility, I mean, entirely. But people should not be under the impression that they're not doing any work because, in a way, because of these emergencies, you know, the legislative office building and the Capitol building have been closed. Now, the first floors are now reopened to tours, but your government has essentially been closed for months and months. And maybe we might all sigh, you know, a collective sigh of relief, and we might be like, well, maybe this isn't a bad thing. But they have been very active, you know, in the first half of this of my term, they've passed some incredible bills, removing religious exemption for children for their vaccines. They've passed all kinds of bills, the clean slate, automatic erasure bill. We've passed the anti-Janus bill. That's a workaround on the Supreme Court case that gave public sector workers a right to come out from under the union. I mean, they passed some signature progressive bills in our state while it's supposed to be closed because it's an emergency. So, you know, they're having their cake And they're eating it too.
And see,
usually,
and Kim,
you can't do that.
Yeah, and Kim, the part of what bothered me, listen, the majority's going to get some bills through. I understand that. You and I know the realities here. But the lack of public hearings, and I know that, well, they did the Zoom hearings, but Kim, you know as well as I do, and you've been up there now for long enough, that when you don't have face-to-face hearings, which I think they could have done if they picked a site with good ventilation or, you know, figured out a way to do it. You know, Kim, I think when a legislator of either party, frankly, cannot face a voter face-to-face and read the room and look at the emotion in some people's faces and eyes, I think that kind of cheapens the process, Kim. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I feel.
No, you're absolutely right. And certainly the people that might have opposed marijuana or the medical exemption or the people who were trying to protect the faith-based pregnancy centers, people who were pushing back on state takeover of zoning, or those who opposed declaring racism a healthcare crisis in our state, every single one of those of these major headline issues that have real impact on life in Connecticut, those people wanted to have their opportunity to be able to, you know, see their legislators face to face. And one of the things I said is, even as we were voting last week to extend for another 150 days, you know, the chambers, the public should have been able to stand in these bleacher seats and be in the chambers with us and stare us down.
Yeah.
But we sat there, you know, in a sterile room. Hardly any Democrats were on their side because they're still zooming in from the legislative office building. And we sat there with our masks on, which the Speaker of the House insisted on. And they gave, you know, the governor the right to have his emergency powers, these extraordinary powers, for another 150 days. So, you know, the people of Connecticut should feel infantilized by this kind of government. We should be offended and feel like we're being treated like children.
Well, Kim, we'll see what happens come mid-February, see if there's another extension requested there. State Rep. Kim Fiorello, District 149. Kim, good to speak with you, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you.
Super. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, there you go.